The program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, good day, Tokers and Tokers. Welcome. It is Wednesday, November 21st, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. And better than that, we are on the cusp of a five-day weekend here, at least in the United States, where we celebrate Thanksgiving tomorrow. And that's Thursday, and then we also take the day off after for Friday to recover from all the tryptophan and the turkey. So we will be off for tomorrow and Friday, unfortunately. Yeah, I know. Yes, settle down. But we will be back on Monday with more new shows. And I'll tell you what, today's show is such a good one that this should tide you over for that entire five-day weekend. Coming up in hour two, our special guest at half past, it'll be 4:30 p.m. Pacific time after we get our 420 on out here. Normal founder Keith Stropp will be joining us here. That's right. Keith Stropp, the man who started the marijuana movement, he will be here for a half hour, starting at 4:30 Pacific, taking your calls and promoting his new book, It's Normal to Smoke Pot. We've got the first interview with Keith since the release of the new book, or the upcoming release of the new book, and I can't wait to talk to him about Washington and Colorado finally passing marijuana legalization. If anyone in their lifetime deserved to see that, it's Keith Stropp. He's coming up at 4:30. And since today is Wednesday, at 3:30 Pacific time, we're going to speak with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine will be in here answering. That's right. He'll be here answering your live questions on cannabis science, culture, history, and health. Our phone number is 971-533-7111, and we'll put that up on the screen when we get to those half past. So 3:30, Dr. Mitch, 4:30, Keith Stropp. Really looking forward to it. Also, we've got your 420 headline news today. All sorts of interesting stories in the headlines, including the UN demanding that the U.S. do something about Washington and Colorado legalization. We've got entrepreneurs in Seattle looking to benefit from I-502 with dispensary services, some big marijuana bus found on a Texas school bus, and in Massachusetts, they're playing Not in My Backyard with the newly passed medical marijuana law, and more news from Holland, where they are taking part in the Cannabis Cup right now. Holland is going to ban skunk marijuana from its coffee shops. In behind the headlines, we're going to take a look at penny stocks, including Medbox, how it shot up over this week on the news of marijuana legalization. And for our radical rant, we'll take a time for Dancing with Trolls. It's going to be a good one. Stick around.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. Radical Russ has been prepping for this debate full-time since 2005. The Russ Belville Show.
Now it's time for our 420 headline news. I'm Russ Belville with the news. The UN demands that the U.S. put a stop to marijuana legalization in two states. The head of the United Nations International Narcotics Control Board, Raymond Yans, has voiced grave concerns about the passage of marijuana legalization initiatives in Washington and Colorado. In a November 15th press release, Mr. Yans informed the United States that, quote, these developments are in violation of the international drug control treaties and pose a great threat to public health and the well-being of society well beyond those states. He continued, quote, legalization of cannabis within these states could send wrong and confusing signals to youth and society in general, giving the false impression that drug abuse might be considered normal and even, most disturbingly, safe. Such a development could result in the expansion of drug abuse, especially among young people, and we must remember that all young people have a right to be protected from drug abuse and drug dependency, end quote. Mr. Yans explained that the 1961 Single Convention Treaty on Narcotic Drugs, quote, must be universally adhered to and implemented by all states, end quote, and that the United States has, quote, an obligation under the treaties and conventions to ensure their full compliance with the conventions within their entire territory, including federated states and or provinces. This presents a troubling development for American officials because the United States has a long history of never violating any treaty it signs. Capitol Hill marijuana entrepreneurs go mobile. Get ready for the I-502 future. This from Capitol Hill, Seattle. It's the seeming catch-22 of Initiative 502's legalization of marijuana in Washington. Come December 6th, it will be legal to smoke a joint. But with no state-authorized stores in place for the foreseeable future, where will the good citizens of Seattle get their weed? There's an opportunity. Who better to provide it? Asks Cass Stewart, who opened the Apothecary Dispensary on Broadway in 2011, only to quickly close the medicinal marijuana provider in the wake of a summer sortie of letters sent out by the Drug Enforcement Agency warning area dispensaries located within 1,000 feet of schools and other fuzzily defined entities. The new wave of dispensaries are moving away from brick-and-mortar storefronts and rebranding themselves as virtual delivery services. His Apothecary Express Capitol Hill Medical Cannabis Delivery Service is gearing up for a December soft launch. Mr. X Delivery is already up and running and has a tricked-out site complete with an e-commerce-enabled pot menu. Mr. X writes, quote, the DEA enforcement thus far has been limited to those dispensaries who have a physical location within 1,000 feet of schools and parks. It would seem this restriction would limit much of Seattle and nearly all of Capitol Hill. There is no school-centered 1,000-foot radius to worry about on the Internet. Holland to ban skunk marijuana from coffee shops. Dutch Justice Minister Ivo Opstelten warns the country's famous licensed cafes to only sell cannabis containing less than 15% of the main active chemical, THC. The decision will be a major blow to hundreds of coffee shop owners, many of them in Amsterdam, who will have to replace around 80% of their stock with weaker varieties. Critics claim it will make the problem worse by pushing stronger versions of the drug onto the black market. Mark Josemans, spokesman for the Maastricht Coffee Shop Owners Association, told the Volkskrant newspaper, quote, "Weak weed in the coffee shops, strong weed on the streets. Then the choice is pretty clear," end quote. The decision comes as Jackie Smith, the former Home Secretary of Britain, admitted it was a mistake to upgrade cannabis to a Class B drug in Britain. She now argues it would have been better to improve education about the drug rather than raise the level of criminalization. Massachusetts public hearings will be scheduled in the near future for Westboro officials to receive residents' input on the town's medical marijuana action plan. Although Westboro, along with the state as a whole, voted overwhelmingly in favor of Question 3 on Election Day, the town's elected officials worry about the impact it will have on crime, drug use, and department budgets. Town Council Gregory Frank said it's unlikely that complete bans would hold up legally. Many meeting attendees said they favored a plan to create zoning restrictions that would make it difficult for dispensary owners to move into town. That's your 420 headline news for today, Wednesday, November 21st, 2012. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and take a look at the penny stock known as Medbox Inc. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
You're tuned into The Russ Belville Show.
Yeah, we've made a call on the controversial marijuana ballot question, Amendment 64. Floyd, we can safely say this is going to pass.
It is legal in the Constitution to possess and grow up to 6 plants.
You cannot be arrested for being in possession of an ounce of marijuana.
In the state of Washington, they voted to legalize marijuana, not for medical use, but for recreational use.
This is the beginning of taking apart prohibition one state at a time. That's how they did it 80 years ago against alcohol. That's how we're going to do it now against marijuana.
Welcome back, everybody. Feels so good to be in post-legalization America. At least two out of 50 states, 48 to go. Welcome back. It's time for us to go behind the headlines. And today I want to take a look at the penny stock known as Medbox Inc. We reported earlier this week about how its price soared following the legalization of marijuana in Washington and Colorado. And I wanted to turn to some place where I'd get a little bit more expert opinion on what's going on with that. Because to be honest, my knowledge of stocks and the stock market is fairly limited. So I turned to CBSMarketWatch.com, and there's a great story out by Chuck Jaffe from MarketWatch. It's called Marijuana Dispenser, a Classic Penny Stock Story. If you told someone you expected a tiny company with virtually no assets and income to go from being worth pennies per share to having a market value of more than $2 billion, they'd probably think you were drunk or high. But it's also precisely what happened last week with Medbox Inc., a company that makes medical marijuana dispensing machines, which went on a fantastic voyage after it caught a mention in a MarketWatch story on how investors might participate in the expanding legalized pot trade. Shares surged from about $4 to $215 last week, giving the company a market capitalization of more than $2.25 billion. before company executives played the buzzkill and made a statement noting that the price was soaring more because of the stock's small float than the company's present business economics. The stock quickly fell back down to $100 and has since been cut in half again, a trend that is likely to repeat itself over and over until the share price is more reflective of its fair market value. That won't be much for a company that will be lucky to break $5 million in sales this calendar year. While that may be the $2 to $2.75 to $3.50 range the stock was trading prior to the market walk, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. The price that it ends up at might be the $2.75 to $3.50 per share that the stock was trading in prior to the Market Watch mention. It could also be closer to the stock's 52-week low of 3 cents per share. Beyond the marijuana connection that fired up the public's imagination, what fascinates investors about Medbox is that it is the rare penny stock that blew up into something where lucky buyers may have struck it rich. Today, it trades on what is known as OTC Pink, where the higher level of trading efficiency makes a move like the one seen last week possible. The OTC Pink marketplace has no financial standards or reporting requirements. Dig into the accountant's statement in Medbox's most recent financials filed November 1st, and you will find that, quote, management has elected to omit substantially all of the disclosures required by accounting principles generally accepted in the United States. The accounting statement, by the way, rightly recognizes that, quote, if the omitted disclosures were included, they might influence the user's conclusions about the company's financial position, end quote. For average investors, however, the realm of OTC Pink is the wild, wild west. OTC Pink stocks have a small float and low trading volumes, which means they can pop when there is a sudden spike in demand. It's the realm of traders and stock jockeys hoping to turn a penny into a nickel before the ride ends. Throwing money into these stocks is, for most investors, an exercise in futility. They don't recognize that they are the ones those traders and sharpies are getting their nickels from. Charles Rotblit, the editor of AAII Journal, the publication of the American Association of Individual Investors, said, quote, the problem is that the successes aren't 1 in 10. They're more like 1 in 100. He continued, it doesn't matter if you read an article on MarketWatch or you got some email that didn't get caught in your spam filter. With these thinly traded stocks, you need to think about who else knew about these opportunities first. Because if you aren't one of the first people to act, you're going to be the one left holding the hot potato, end quote. Now, this is not to disparage or demean the people that are trying to make these companies go or the people trying to invest in these stocks. It's just to say caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. You're trading on a market that does not follow the same kind of rules as the stock market, as the SEC would require for financial reporting, for transparency. And God knows those rules aren't strong enough as they are, right? So you're already talking about the stock market where things are a little shady and corrupt. And then this is the off stock market where they don't have the financial reporting requirements. They don't have the same kind of principles that they've got in the regular market. That's not to say people involved in that market are necessarily bad or trying to rip you off or anything. It's just to say, let the buyer beware. And indeed, if you had bought a bunch of stocks in Medbox 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and they were $4 a piece, and they went up to $125, and you cashed out, well then, good on you, man, because you made the right move. But as this story tells you, it's important that you're the first one to make that right move. If you're jumping on the bandwagon too late, then you're the one who's left holding the bag, so to speak. You're the one who's making all those profits for all those other penny stock investors. So just be careful before you start sinking the life savings into the next marijuana legalization related stock. Talk to a stock advisor, talk to a professional, find someone that knows what they're doing in this stuff, and don't put all your eggs in one proverbial basket. Marijuana legalization is going to make a lot of people a lot of money, but it's also going to create a whole bunch of scams and a whole bunch of ripoff artists too. As I've always said to people out there, just be careful and get some second opinions on this stuff. Well, now, it's 20 after the hour, and Brian the Red has showed up. Just in time for 420, I see.
It's a coincidence, I swear.
We'll be right back.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Hi, this is Dan Michaels. If you're looking for professional voice talent for your commercial or podcast, I'm your man. Visit danmichaelsaudio.com for more information.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years. They've got mandatory sentences, and these judges just say, they throw up their hands and say, there's nothing we can do, it's mandatory sentences. We've got to take a look at what we're considering crimes.
When the Reverend Pat Robertson from television's The 700 Club...
criminalizing marijuana, criminalizing the possession of a few ounces of pot and that kind of thing, I mean, it's just...
makes more sense on the marijuana issue than the president, the Congress, and the Supreme Court.
It's costing us a fortune, and it's ruining young people. The young people go into prisons, they come out, they go in as youths, and they come out as hardened criminals, and it's not a good thing.
You know we're winning.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, folks, we're going to do something a little different for today's Irie Wednesday. If you're watching on the webcam, you may have noticed the caption below, Miércoles México con Radical Russ. That's right. We are going Spanish on this Wednesday. And you know what? I think I'm going to make it a regular thing, maybe a once-a-month thing. I'll get it all figured out. But it's important to me because, you know, when I grew up in a bilingual neighborhood. I grew up in the bilingual schools with all the migrant kids, the Mexican worker kids. And so I kind of grew up around that culture and these people. And I'm so torn when I have to read these stories day after day after day about the violence and the strife in Mexico that's directly attributable to our drug war. It's our fault, right? So it really bugs me. And it bugs me so much because not just so many deaths and families that have been that have happened there, but how it's destroying Mexican society. It's leading to a narco state. You know, people can't trust their cops, their politicians. And so we're going to play music from Mexico that falls into a genre called narco corridos. And these are the stories of the Mexican drug traffickers. In fact, in Mexico, the war on drugs is so prevalent, there is a genre of music that's just all about it.
En México, la guerra contra las drogas es tan frecuente que existe un género de la música de todo.
They're called narco corridos, and they are the ballads of the murderers, smugglers, and leaders of the drug cartels.
Se les llama narco corridos, y son las baladas de los asesinos, contrabandistas. Y los líderes de los cárteles de la droga.
In a sense, you could say that this is the gangster rap of Mexico, except these songs represent 60,000 actual deaths in the streets.
En cierto sentido, se podría decir que es el rap gangsta de México. Salvo estas canciones representan 60,000 muertes reales en las calles.
So here is our first narco corrido for our new monthly Miércoles México segment. It is Los Tucanes de Tijuana with El Diablo.
Aquí está nuestro primer narco corrido para nuestro nuevo segmento mensual Miércoles México. Se trata de Los Tucanes de Tijuana con El Diablo.
Era un hombre de veras valiente, se burlaba de la policía. Asomando traía mucha gente, su negocio se lo requería. Poderoso y también muy alegre, como el diablo se le conocía. chivo. Cada ráfaga llevaba un hombre. No fallaba, era muy efectivo. No apreciaban mucho sus patrones, ni se diga su gente y amigos. El dinero, el poder y la fama son tres cosas muy afrodisíacas. Sin buscar las mujeres te sobran, solteritas, viudas y casadas. A gozar de la vida que es corta, ves y el diablo rodeado de damas. Para mí la pobreza es historia, la hice añicos a punta de bala. Somos gente del cartel del diablo, desdecían a los federales, de inmediato les abrían el paso, era más que efectiva la clave. Sabían bien que si no hacían caso, sus cabezas volarían al aire. En la mafia también hay escuela, fue maestro y ejemplo de varios. Le atoraba de frente a cualquiera, fueran leyes o fueran contrarios. Los dejaba como coladeras, enojado era el mismito diablo. Lo valiente se hereda, no hay duda. Lo que somos lo aprenden los hijos. Las ofensas más grandes perduran, no se olvidan ni por un ratito. La venganza fue de gran altura, mis respetos para el muchachito. Con un cuerno dejó a su familia, no dejó a nadie vivo el diablito.
Man, is that the Reaper Man?
That's the Reaper Man.
I believe he's losing his mind.
I think he's lost his mind.
This is a Russ Belville Show news alert. Whatever you do, don't smoke pot. You don't want to turn out to be a loser. Like Olympian Michael Phelps, actor Jack Nicholson, singer Miley Cyrus, rocket scientist Dr. Carl Sagan, pop star Rihanna, actress Cameron Diaz, country legend Willie Nelson, President Barack Obama, Cy Young pitcher Kim Hensicum.
Have you ever met that funny Reefer Man? If he says he swam to China, sell you South Carolina, then you know you're talking to that Reefer Man.
And over 100 million other Americans.
Have you ever met funny Reefer Man? If he says he walks the ocean, anytime he takes a notion, then you know you're talking to the Reefer Man.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana. It's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
All right, time to get the cannabis science going, folks. We got Dr. Mitch Earlywine on the line. How you doing, Dr. Mitch?
Having a great day.
Getting ready for Thanksgiving. Got the big holiday coming up. I hope you're all well with the family and people are going to have themselves a good time this weekend.
We're heading out to grandmother's house we go.
Excellent. Glad to hear it. So as we always do on this segment, we take live questions from our audience. The phone number is right there on our screen at 971-533-7111. Or you can get into our chat room. Just type /login and you can create yourself an account there on Ustream and get your questions in via chat. While those are building up, we always give Dr. Mitch the first word here to tell us what the latest studies or science might tell us about cannabis. So what's up, Dr. Mitch?
New paper out in epilepsy and behavior from some investigators at UC San Francisco. It's just two case studies, but it's folks who had epileptic seizures who were controlling them with cannabis, then went on this inpatient epilepsy monitoring unit, had to stop using their cannabis, and unfortunately their seizure frequency increased when they had to stop. I never want to make too much of just two individual cases, and of course if there were two cases that went against medical cannabis, I would be particularly critical. But this does say something pretty compelling about how medical marijuana has a lot of potential with seizure. We've seen stuff with cannabidiol controlling seizure in studies from a couple of decades ago. And I sure hope that anybody who has the chance to take advantage of this gets the opportunity.
All right. And I was wondering if you happened to see the Today Show yesterday and get to catch Willie Nelson on the Today Show. He made a very interesting statement. He said, I'm 80 years old. I'm approaching 80 years old. I'm the canary in the coal mine for pot smoking. So what does the demographics of pot smoking look like as far as people, above age 65? And does that show any, anti-aging property that we can prove?
Again, we're in a situation where we just have a bunch of salient examples. So, anytime you run into LV at a conference, you think, wow, here's somebody who must be about 45, and then she's hopping around 20 years older than that or something. It's just a subset of folks who are really outstanding who we happen to know. As it turns out, that 65-plus group is not a high base rate for marijuana use, despite the stereotypes around the from the 1960s and things like that. But the folks who use and do seem to have a lot of medical problems, we don't often see them in the media and things like that. So I don't want to overstate the case. Nevertheless, we've got folks like Willie. We've got Petri dish type evidence about THC and other cannabinoids working as antioxidants. We know the antioxidants can seem to limit aging in rodent models. So it seems compelling and, in fact, intuitively appealing that cannabis might actually decrease the aging process in a subset of folks. I'm looking forward to seeing those data as the years roll by.
All right. Well, let's take a look at some of the questions that we got coming in here and live questions here at our chat room, radicalrust.com, or by calling in 971-533-7111. And a few really good ones here. Let me scroll down and find this. Here we have Runaround666 asks, I have a friend who only smokes once every few months. And the day after she smokes, she gets terrible insomnia. Is it just withdrawal symptoms? Is there any way to lessen that?
That's curious. And odds are high it may have something to do with the timing of her use. And, of course, individual differences are pretty vast. We also may have a strain specificity issue, too, where an indica strain might not produce this, but a more sativa-like one might. And so, unfortunately, I don't have a direct answer. Generally, acute withdrawal from cannabis or something like that that would create a sleep disturbance doesn't occur after a single use, except in incredibly sensitive users. So I think that might be unlikely. Also, I hate to say it, but we do create these expectancies for ourselves, especially around subjective things like sleep. So if we anticipate having trouble sleeping, what a surprise, we have it.
Yeah, self-fulfilling prophecy sort of thing.
Exactly.
Okay. T Star Trek Dude has a question that has tough words in it, so I'm going to try. He says, I was listening, and the chat keeps jumping on me. It makes it a little harder.
I, 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 are you, You're pulling those in for me?
Yeah, I put them into the Skype chat. Okay. If you'll jump over there, I've been...
There we go. Oh, yeah. See, if I pull all the windows up, there we go. Okay.
Well, you've got too many windows to have them all up at once. Anyway, question is...
The question is, I was listening to some of the ads here, and I heard of cannabis as a treatment for Alzheimer's. That got me to wondering, do any of the cannabinoids in cannabis have effects similar to more classical nootropics, such as ampicines, and I may be mispronouncing that, or cholinergic drugs, or cholinergic drugs.
Sure. The big finding on these nootropics was we were hoping these were going to be sort of brain-boosting chemicals, and it just hasn't paid off in the way we had hoped. So the cholinergic drugs in particular, before the cannabinoid receptor was actually discovered, people thought, hey, maybe marijuana works in this choline system. But the work in Israel suggested, no, that's not the case at all. And we don't see any of the jitteriness or kind of general stimulation, even with sativa strains, that you often get when people take acetylcholine precursors. So it doesn't seem to be working along those same lines. Hydrogen and some of the other ones that are supposed to help memory, it doesn't seem to work along those same lines either, and in fact the data on those are not as compelling as the initial studies. It seemed like maybe the ones that were working, of course, got published early on, and then the failures to replicate finally started coming in. Mm. The one drug that does seem to work is vasopressin as far as enhancing memory, and it works in the hippocampus, but it seems to actually work in the opposite way of the cannabinoids. So essentially, the intoxication, or basically the subjective experience of cannabis and some of the memory loss that goes during acute effects is going in the opposite direction of vasopressin. So again, they don't seem to be working that same way.
Yeah, that's kind of a follow up in the question is wondering, what is the method of action that cannabinoids are using against Alzheimer's?
Well, what's curious is it seems a more general antioxidant function, so that the amyloid plaques that you usually see, these oddball tangles that are present in the cells of folks with Alzheimer's related dementia, those are less likely to occur, in part because the cannabinoids are essentially making it so that when you're making new proteins off of DNA, you copy better, if you will. As you age, sometimes you end up making these bumper proteins when you're trying to make a copy off your DNA, and you sort of make a mistake, if you will. And then those bumper proteins kind of float around, and they may be what's forming these amyloid plaques. With fewer of those messed up proteins floating around, the opportunity for plaque formation is decreased, and apparently some of the opportunity for Alzheimer's.
Hmm. Yeah, it sounds like the old laser jet printer upstairs that always leaves a black smear when it copies things. It just kind of breaks down over time.
Imagine a copy of a copy,
yeah,
and how that would get worse and worse over the years. But with a little cannabis, maybe we're cleaning out our printer.
All right. Well, here's another good question. I have a friend who has a small cancer on his ear. Would a topical cannabis application cause a positive on a drug test?
It's unfortunately very dose dependent. And we talked about transdermal absorption of the cannabinoids in the past, and it was pretty hard to do without really cranking up the dosage, but it definitely is a possibility. I am not... I'm not averse to telling people to go ahead and order your own test strips online. They're relatively cheap, and that's, of course, the best way to find out for yourself.
All right. This is an interesting question. I have a friend who used to consume cannabis fairly regularly, but after she had surgery to remove her gallbladder, she gets the sensation of swallowing her tongue when she smokes. Anything she can do to get that to stop?
Odds are high that's a strain-dependent issue, as well as a kind of set-and-setting thing, where if she's had this before, particularly because of dehydration or, general lack of fluids, she would probably want to try again with a different strain and make sure she's completely hydrated before she starts, and then keep the dosage incredibly low that first time out. See how it goes and sort of go from there.
Okay. Next question, very interesting. We talk some about industrial hemp and how hemp is being used a lot for fiber and seed and all of the industrial uses it has. But do you see value in high CBD levels of industrial hemp strains for medical purposes?
As it turns out, because industrial hemp has a very long stalk rather than a big flower, like the medical cannabis, it would be kind of a waste of effort to try to make those high CBD. What you really want for hemp is the strongest stalk and the strongest fiber you can get, and unfortunately that's very counter to having a bushy plant filled with big colas, and so it's just not the kind of effort you'd want to put in.
Okay. We are still taking questions here in our chat room at RadicalRust.com. You can also call at 971-533-7111. But if you're shy, and I know how you can be shy, I mean, this is still illegal in most of the world, you can always send it by email at 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. And Dr. Mitch gets those and answers them quite regularly, so make sure to check that out. I also was wondering, Dr. Mitch, we haven't talked for a while about books and some of the writing that's out there, and I'm wondering if you've seen any new books out lately that some of our audience should be paying attention to as far as science or history of cannabis out there.
So Dr. Leslie Iverson is redoing his Science of Marijuana, and that update should be out in the next month or two. I also just wrote a review of Too High to Fail, Doug Fine's book that basically takes a close look at the economics of the Californian, particularly Northern Californian, approaches to basically allowing folks to grow cannabis. And I found that really delightful. And it turns out once I finished, then of course Bill Maher reviewed it for the New York Times. So more people are probably going to be reading that review. But nevertheless, I do feel like that's a great book. I did want to throw in, I get a number of emails around this time of year, if it's Thanksgiving, should I smoke first or later? And the bottom line is, come on, it's Thanksgiving, enjoy yourself.
There we go. We got a live caller on the line from the 712 area code. You're on with Dr. Mitch. What's your question?
Some people are telling me that they'll withdraw symptoms from THC. I was wondering what those actually would be.
Withdrawal symptoms from THC.
So it took literally five millennia to prove that THC caused withdrawal symptoms, and when you see these withdrawal questionnaires, they're a little bit laughable. So one of the items is loss of appetite, but you do see some sleep disturbance, some mild irritability, and, of course, craving for cannabis. So those, I think, are sort of the hallmarks. If they do exist, those seem to be the ones that are getting folks funded to do research on marijuana withdrawal.
Thank you very much. That was very informative.
All right. Thank you for your question, and we encourage anyone to call in. And also, you can call in when we're not on live, 971-533-7111. We got a voicemail there, and if you got questions for Dr. Mitch that you think of when we're not on, go ahead and send those in as well, and we'll make sure that the question gets answered. Time for one last question coming in, again, from Star Trek Dude, who asks, my next question is, to what extent does cannabis add to depressant drugs? And is there a difference between GABA drugs and others such as opioid drugs?
So, yeah, absolutely. As regular listeners know, I'm not a big fan of the alleged antidepressant drugs. I'm a big fan of behavioral activation and kind of behavioral therapies for depression. And there are a number of great books out. Feeling Good by David Burns is one of the most accessible and one that's been around for years and years. The antidepressant drugs and cannabis, they say don't mix, but in truth, it's sort of like saying cannabis doesn't mix with a regular placebo. I'm just not thrilled with how those drugs work. The GABA-oriented drugs obviously work in that GABA system. The opiate drugs are really not antidepressants at all. They're really all about pain, and I'm afraid their addictive potential is incredibly high. You develop tolerance really rapidly, and the side effects are literally constipating. So I can't recommend any of those. The GABA drugs are sometimes used for anxiety, but I feel like that's another treatment where behavioral intervention is definitely a much better line of defense.
All right. And there was one real brief one. Is there anything in the medical literature about cannabis and tinnitus, the ringing in the ears?
So tinnitus, unfortunately, we don't have any good treatments for, and it's becoming more and more common as, I'm afraid to say it, more and more vets are exposed to the sound of bombs. So we're really looking into that, but cannabis is not a frontline defense for it right now. It looks like trying to get more close to the cochlea and the inner parts of the ear and really see what's going on with those nerves. So things that are much more specific to that that might be either surgery or electrical operations may be the way to go.
All right. Well, Dr. Mitch Earlywine, as usual on our Wednesdays, thanks so much for joining us. Every time you come on the show, people put little hearts in the chat room. They love you. Thanks for helping us.
Well, thanks to all of you, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
All right. When we come back, we'll have time for a little bit of radical rant. I'm going dances with trolls.
Stick around.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show. The voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
There was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. And I don't know what this says about the online audience, but
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Anybody who's been on the internet for any length of time understands the term troll. If you don't, then let me just explain it to you. A troll is usually one of the denizens of the internet who shows up on comment boards, on blogs, on forums, with the sole purpose of derailing a conversation or adding all sorts of, well, just craziness to it. I have a term for it. I actually call it guano loco. you can figure out the Spanish for yourself. But one of the maxims on the internet is don't feed the trolls. And they usually say that don't feed the trolls, which means do not engage with them. Don't, you know, don't comment and reply to them because it just provokes them. And they just continue to spam the blog or the forum. Well, that doesn't work for me. I've already mentioned how I'm kind of the Lieutenant Aldo Rain of marijuana legalization. You know, I will remember and remember forever those who opposed legalization, those who opposed keeping me out of a cage for my marijuana use. And so most of my furor has been directed north of me to Washington State. Of course, because it's as close to me, and it seemed to have the most vocal group of people who smoke pot who were also trying to keep me getting put into a cage. Now, to be fair, the complaints on I-502, at least compared to Prop 19 complainers, had some merit. Per se, DUIDs suck. They absolutely do suck. They do suck. Are they a deal breaker for legalization? Not even close. But they do suck. So in bantering with those people, there was always a part of me, and still is a part of me, that's kind of like, you know, God, it sucks that you guys can't see the value judgment in it. But I understand why you're not making that decision. You know what I mean? I mean, I disagree with the decision, but if I understand their moral principles, I get where they're coming from. Well, the same cannot be said of the trolls in Colorado. And if you've been following my blog or any of my comments lately, you may know that I've been going rounds with a certain person named Kathleen Chipeye. But at least Kathleen Chipeye has the courage, the forthrightness to post in her own name and, you know, not hide, right? People know who she is. You can find her picture on the internet, right? And so that's cool. But some of the craziness, some of the trollishness that's going on right now, some of the stuff coming from the True Believers and the Treat It Like Tomatoes crowd, or TILT, is just too much to bear. And so today, I slipped in, and actually yesterday as well, I slipped into one of my internet personas that I like to call Dances with Trolls. And Dances with Trolls is where I like to refute their arguments in a straightforward and sometimes caustic way, providing lots of data and hyperlinks and information. And part of it is so that when other people, normal human beings, are reading these blogs and they see these comment sections, they start to see the all caps, multiple ellipsis, too many exclamation point posts from these people, that they will find the actual facts to rebut everything these people are saying. I mean, it does seem kind of like a futile proposition in that anybody with half a brain should be able to realize just from reading the first few paragraphs from these scribblers that they don't really have much to add to the conversation. But on the off chance that people might think, well, gosh, they seem really angry, there must be something there, I like to debunk this stuff. It's just what I do. So lately I've been doing this, and I've been going rounds with an anonymous troll. Now, these are the ones that I love the best. These are the ones that will come out and they'll spew invective. I mean, I think this guy in the past, and I don't know if it's a guy, could be a woman. In fact, it's been alleged to be a sock puppet of Kathleen Chipeye, but I have no proof of that. And they both deny it, so I'm going to assume they're two different people. But this Don Quixote is the one. And he's not Don Quixote, but Don Quixote. Okay. Anyway, is an anonymous one. It's one of these ones that won't come out. You know, here I am on screen every day. I got a phone number beside my face every day. You can call me up. You can look me up on Google. You can send me emails. I think even my personal cell phone number is probably out there to find if you wanted to find it. So I'm out there. You know, I put my opinions out there on the line every day. I write about them every day. And I try to back them up with the best facts and research that I can. Then you get this guy, Don Quixote, coming online and calling me and Mason Tavert liars and obese and, I'm sure there's a whole bunch of others I'm forgetting. You know, it's just tons and tons of ad hominem attacks. So that's the level of discourse. And part of why I like to go into Dances with Trolls mode is because those people are part of the reason we've had such trouble passing legalization in the past. Those people, the uncompromising ideologues, these hippy dippy, you know, treat it like tomatoes crowd, these curse and yell and shout at their legislator people, the ones who believe the man is behind every move to make marijuana legal, these are the ones that piss me off the most. And the crux of this argument is so banal, it's so ridiculous that it's hard to even take it seriously. But let me give you the gist. These people are upset. Kathleen, Donkey, and a few others are terribly upset about Colorado being the first state to pass marijuana legalization because it's not really legalization. It's not true legalization. Okay, you can have three flowering plants, three immature plants, an ounce on your person, and all the marijuana from your harvest in your home as a constitutional right, but that's not true legalization. It's a bad thing. This got passed. It's terrible. It's a plot by the man to control marijuana and to tax it out of existence and do terrible, bad, wicked, evil things. So let me get you one of the comments. This is just one that popped up. And really, I literally, before the segment, thought, which one am I going to pull up? And then I said, well, it really doesn't matter, because whatever the latest one is will be fine. And it is. So this is the latest one from Don Quixote, who issues some facts about Amendment 64 to prove. Now, these, understand, when these people come out with their facts, that there's never hyperlinks back to the thing that you could verify this fact with. There's never corroborating evidence to underscore this fact. It's just stated a priori. This is a fact, per se. So here's the first fact. Amendment 64's pathetically puny possession limits and age exclusions are below what is already decriminalized in Colorado. Okay. The argument here, and what is real part of the argument here is, okay, Kathleen Chippy's argument is Amendment 64's campaign should be fined and censured and maybe brought up on criminal charges because they lied to the people by saying it treats marijuana like alcohol, when in fact it's much stricter than alcohol. That's the gist of her argument. This guy's argument is they were lying to the people because they said it would reduce arrests, but it's not going to reduce arrests at all. There will not be fewer marijuana arrests in Colorado after they legalize. That's this guy's argument. Really? So here's the facts to back up the argument. The pathetically puny possession limits and age exclusions are below what is already decriminalized in Colorado. The idea there being, and in Colorado this is true, before Amendment 64, Colorado was a decrim state, which meant if you were caught with less than an ounce, you could be fined, ticketed, and yes, even arrested. It still remains something that they could, a cop could arrest you for and drag you in front of a judge for. And on top of that, fine, afterwards, you know, all the other sort of administrative sanctions that can go on. So the people who had less than an ounce, who now can have that completely legally, he's saying there'll be no difference in arrests because nobody with less than an ounce was getting arrested anyway. Maybe somewhere. When I looked on the FBI's Uniform Crime Report, I found 15,109 arrests for marijuana in the state of Colorado in 2011. I also found that according to the FBI's Uniform Crime Report, 23.5% of all drug arrests in the state of Colorado were for marijuana possession. And that worked out to something like 4,411, I think it was, 4,411 marijuana possession arrests in Colorado. And he is positing that none of those are arrests for less than an ounce. Now, I can't drill down into what those arrests were all for, but if there's anybody in Colorado, in the sound of my voice on podcast, through Twitter, anybody in Colorado who's ever been arrested for less than an ounce, please let me know, because I would love to have an actual fact to shoot this down. He goes on to say that Amendment 64 does not repeal any marijuana felonies. He's right. If you grow more than six plants, you will get a marijuana felony. If you possess more than 1 ounce outside your home, a lot more than 1 ounce outside your home, you'll get a marijuana felony. Yep. If you sell marijuana illegally, yeah, you'll get a marijuana felony. Yep. Mm-hmm. Why does that not make it legalization, though? Why is it that if something's legal and there's a law about it, breaking a law makes it not legalizing? Are you telling me if I drive 85 miles an hour down I-70 that driving is not legal? Because I'm doing it illegally, I'm breaking the speed limit, there was a limit there and I broke it, therefore, you know, since I can be arrested for driving, therefore it's not legal. It excludes everyone under the age of 21 from protection. Yeah, kind of like they were before. It didn't. See, all the complaints they have to do with marijuana still being federally illegal, which is something that the state of Colorado can't change. Well, it will change it. You just watch. Hey, I'll tell you more about Dances with Trolls in Hour 2. And also, at the bottom of Hour 2, 4:30 Pacific Time, we are going to have an exclusive interview with Keith Stropp, the founder of Normal, live on this show, taking your calls and your questions through our chat room and promoting his new book, It's Normal to Smoke Pot. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us here. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. you take a scene, you plan it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a scene, you plan it.